Welcome to the Erica Glessing Show, and I have a dear friend on with me today. She's someone I actually have reached out with for help when I've had issues with teenagers. She has a lot of gifts, and we ha started having the pre-chat, and it just started taking us everywhere. But Elena is actually joining me from, are you in London today?
I'm in London today, yes.
Yeah, what's it like? Is it winter or is it just chilly?
It's a little chilly and it's definitely dark here.
Oh my goodness, right? Yeah, you're ahead of me. In California, it's kind of gray where I am, and it's about 70 degrees, which is cooler than normal. It's so warm. Global warming is a thing, right? It's crazy. So I thought we might want to start. We were having kind of an interesting conversation about what happens when you write a book or create a podcast episode or write a blog and you can't see like how much it helps people, or you can't fathom. I have a another podcast, Energy Clearing for Life, and it helps people every day, and I have the hardest time understanding that.
I love that. Yeah, I think the interesting conversation that kind of popped for us was you were speaking about being able to receive the gift that your creation is, and all the places where if we could just stop for a minute and actually acknowledge what our contribution is and how it creates not just for us, but for the future, for others in the future, and potentially even for your wealth of future. That's where it starts to show up and become bigger and greater.
You know, I think this reminds me of when my first book came out, 2007-ish. And I remember, like, I want to think I made around $20,000 from that book. And I remember thinking, well, that's not enough to pay my bills. Like, that's not, like, thinking for some reason. And $20,000 in 2007, I mean, that was really good for a book to generate that much income. And I couldn't see that. Like, I was like, oh, well, I can't make it as a writer. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right. And it's the value in your outcome rather than the value of what you've contributed with the writing.
Yeah, it's even that book. It was called Prospect When You Are Happy. And it was so beautiful. It came into me on a camping trip. It was channeled into my being. I don't know how. And like all the chapters just showed up from like all this coaching I had done, right? Now just all the chapters just showed up like fully formed. And years later, I got this email from someone who found me, even though it was my old name, my former name, right? And he found me online and he said, I use your book every day as my guide for my business.
Could you receive that?
I did actually. I was actually very, that made me feel really, really good.
Awesome. Awesome. I
Yeah.
love that. Yeah, it's the interesting piece of where we value ourselves, and then there's the monetary value that comes with the products we create, or the in your case, writing the books. And if we write it with a dollar amount in mind, that isn't the contribution that the book, if the book were to speak to you, right, and come to you, the outcome really is how many people can receive this and what would it take to get them to receive
Yeah.
that.
And another friend of mine, he's like, well, you know, Erica, I'm a big fan. And he said, so I'm your audience. And he's a really gifted psychic. And he said, I love your books and they really help me. So sometimes you're writing for a very small but elite audience of leaders, right? Because you're writing for those who can get what you write. And so your numbers may not be what you think they should be, and it's all in that should that seems where we get messed up, right?
That word should is so interesting. I'm a retired school teacher, and English was the main subject I taught. and that should, could. There's this energy of obligation that kind of hits that should. And it if you're functioning from that or creating from that, it often puts a limit on what it is that you can do.
So tell us a little bit, if you wake up with a creative idea, like what would be some fun ways to handle that?
If I wake up buzzing, that's the word I use, it is buzzing. Oh my gosh, I have so much in my head. How do I get it out, and what do I do with it?
You have so many books, Elena.
You know, the idea of really getting present with whatever that idea is and almost talking to the idea and asking it, like, how do you want to show up? What do you want to look like? And when I'm working with clients, I often say, especially if they're looking at changing their business or doing something different in their lives, is take that idea out to a first date. Have it sit across the table from you. And
Really?
Just wine it, dine it, see what it tells you.
That's such an interesting thought.
Yeah, it just
yeah,
fun
because
with playing
you know what?
with it.
Like, I would love to do some more podcasts.
Okay.
Like, I feel like I think if there's a podcast about animals I'd like to build, you know?
Okay.
And it's really interesting because I think we can get to a point where people say, you know, laser down, niche down, laser down, niche down. But if your brain's not happy, it's not that good.
I've encountered the same thing as a coach of you have to specify, are you a parent coach? Are you a teen coach? Are you a business coach? Are you an intuitive coach? And the answer is yes to all of it. I
All of it.
not need, it depends on the day. It
Yeah.
depends on the hour of the day.
Yeah.
It's what shows
Yeah.
up, and play with that. So that animal podcast, if you're so present with your idea of what that looks like and what that sounds like, then it's not like you're doing the podcast. You're actually being and creating with the podcast. It's becoming something bigger than you. And that's that contribution we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, it makes sense, Elena, that we'd get on a podcast interview and a new podcast would show up in my third eye. Like, I'm not completely shocked. So I think I'm kind of getting a little nudge to have you share about your working with teens and
Sure.
parents. And why don't you? I luckily don't have any more. No, I love all three of my kids, and I loved them from birth to now, and I'll love them probably beyond. And I've loved some of them before they were born, right?
Right.
No, all of them
Right.
before they were born. So, what is it that you see in that dynamic when the teen is just, you know, major league clashing with parent, and parents just don't know how to navigate teens? And one thing I've noticed is dads. And when their daughters start coming into their bodies, seems like a lot of weird stuff can show up. So why don't you share a little bit about that, kind of what you observe and what maybe some opportunities for deeper understanding?
Teens are male and female are really looking to launch themselves their own way. And by the time a child has gotten to the age of 12, a parent has really missed the opportunity to share their beliefs with their child. Their child has already created their own belief system at this point. And parents often have a difficult time letting go of their own personal experiences growing up and their expectations for what they'd like their child to do or what they believe their child should do. There's that should word again. And the interaction between the two is a clash. And my one question that I ask both when I work with a teen, I also require the parent to have at least one or two sessions with me, so I have a better understanding of both sides of the relationship. And the one question is, what is the visual you have And what is that age of the child that you see in front of you? And I asked the teen how old they think their parents see them at. There's often that time where they visualize this cute little six-year-old or this quirky nine-year-old, and it kind of freezes in the parent's mind. So to your point on maybe dads becoming uncomfortable with a girl developing into a female body, they see their little girl as a little girl frozen in time, and it's very difficult to accept the changes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, and that made me think of me with my 20-year-old. Maddie's 20 now. Can you believe it? I know.
Time flies.
And I notice sometimes, like, if you say it like that, I think there's something about 16 that shows up for me. Like, a time when she was really expansive and not as hurt by some of the stuff that happened in college, you know?
Right. And we want to cherish that favorite memory or that favorite visual. My son, who's in his late 20s at this point, I still see him as the three-year-old who wore Buzz Lightyear slippers and a candy corn hat with no clothes on, informing me that 80% of your body loss heat comes from your extremities. So he was covered. I think he might have been three, maybe four.
A little brilliant scientist to be.
And that's, even though he is a grown man now, I still see that child, that glimpse of that magical creature that he was at that age.
Wow.
I don't necessarily want to let go of that. And I understand parents who don't want to let go of that visual and that memory.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk a little bit from here. Let's just talk a little bit about whatever you want to share about your business, like how you build it or how you attract clients. I know you often just have a waiting list.
I do. Sometimes, especially in the early fall for college applicants, I work with a lot of parents and teens who are interested in pursuing life after high school. How I have really just expanded and developed my business is I don't focus on having to earn a certain amount of money every year. I look at who would like to work with me, who would be fun to work with, and where can we create the most change? And those people always tend to show up, and I always seem to have the available spot open in my schedule for them.
Right. I know you do. It's actually as a past client. I mean, because you used to, when you lived in California, I remember you used to do work on my head and my knees and my feet when I was going through the knee injuries.
Yeah.
And you did all this work and it was so fun. Like, and you always could meet with me. Like, we could always do it. And you'd be completely full and you'd be like, someone just canceled, Erica. I'm like, sorry. Right.
You know, it's, and that's a great way to look at it too, is if you're running your own business and you're looking at meeting targets or goals and people are canceling on you, a lot of people look at the cancellation and go, oh man, oh, I'm going to lose the money on this. Oh, what do I do with that time? As opposed to, oh, who wants to show up now that that spot's free?
Now that that spot's free. Well, yeah.
That's, yeah. Great. And then the person, yeah, always shows up. It's so fun.
I love it. This is so good.
Yeah.
The next question I might have is, it seems like there's some effort for me that I'm feeling as a sensitive. And so I'm figuring my audience might feel it too. When, like, every newscast shows war, like the pervasiveness of the violence. I mean, and there's always, like, I worked in news, so I get it. They always show where the most fatalities are. Like, that's what they do. That's their job as they see it. But I'm interested in, like, staying in peace myself. And so what tools can you recommend, or what can you recommend for someone who's, like, sensitive, who sees this, like, all the killing going on, and what they can do around that?
That's a great question, Erica. Gosh, in particular, if you are a parent listening and your child or your teen is really aware of all of the death and the war and the feeling that it's the end of the world. It's a great question to just ask yourself, am I feeling this? Is this mine? Is this, I'm just picking it up from the news, from other people. There's a way to really just get present with your body. And the one tool I would recommend is really getting grounded and having gratitude. And yes, these things are going on in the world around us, but in this moment right now, what can you do for yourself, and what can you be in a space of gratitude? It seems to be a little bit less heavy, like less end of the world destruction. So if you can even just put your hand on your heart, put your hand down by your root chakra, and put your feet on the ground, wiggle your toes, wear your shoulders, take a few deep breaths, and even just scan around the room and what or wherever you are, what is something you're grateful for right now? Right now.
Yeah,
And all those
absolutely.
other things start to not disappear because they exist in this reality, but they seem to get some distance from the anxiety and the lack of peace that we might be feeling.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I make it a point to be so like friendly when I'm in a bank or working with like, teller who seems or a store person who seems tired, or I make it a point to just be like super good vibes like wherever I go, just to see if I can like just flip the energy just up just a little notch, like
Yeah.
anywhere I go. I just do that for fun.
I love it. So do I. When I'm with people who know me, but they don't necessarily go out in public with me. And the one thing that they always acknowledge is like, wow, you'll talk to anybody. I'm like, yeah. Yes, I will. It's like,
I know,
absolutely.
and at the same time, I'm such a hermit. I
Total introvert. I'm like, no, I don't like people. I don't want to go out of the house. But if I do, I
but if
might
I
as
do,
well,
yeah,
might as well go
exactly.
into that of, hey, how's it going? Oh, great pair of, great boots, whatever, something
Right,
just
something
to
kind.
acknowledge and be that,
Yeah.
like, hey, it's not the end of the world today. Like, yay, we're alive.
Yeah.
We're here. Here's
I
a
love
smile.
it. Well, thank you so much for coming to the show, Lana. It's really been wonderful. So
Thank you for
appreciate you.
having me.
So, how can we reach you and find out more?
Your anyone would be welcome to pop on my website, which is my name, elaynahale.com, ALAYNAHALE.
Perfect.
Thank you
Thanks.
so much.